Fred Hutchison was known as both a fierce competitor and a loyal friend. Despite losing 4 years of his career to military service during World War II, Hutch enjoyed a solid major league pitching career. When his playing days were over, Hutch gained a reputation as a big league manager. But that all ended at Christmas, 1963. I'm your host, Nina Instead, and this is Deadball. Born August 12, 1919, in Seattle, Washington, the third son of Dr. Joseph Hutchison and Nona Burke Hutchison, he had two older brothers, and it's no surprise that he started playing sports at a young age. It was his older brother, Bill, who taught him to play baseball. Bill Hutchison was a fine athlete himself, going on to captain the University of Washington baseball team in 1931. While Bill was a talented athlete, he was not as talented as his kid brother. Instead, Bill went to med school and became an oncologist. Fred's reputation as a ball player started when he was just a kid, dominating games at the local elementary school. And when he entered high school, Fred was a star pitcher, who also excelled as a catcher, outfielder, and first baseman. As a pitcher, he boasted a 60-2 record, and helped Franklin High School win city championships in 1934, 35, 36, and 37. The big-handed Hutch spent his summers pitching for American Legion teams, teams with sponsors like Gibson's Carpet Cleaners and Palace Fish. While pitching for an American Legion team, Fred threw a no-hitter that included 22 strikeouts and a 4-for-5 day at the plate. After high school, Fred registered for college courses, but he opted to pursue baseball when the minor league Seattle Indians offered him a contract. The Indians were soon to change owners and change names to become the Rainiers. Hutchinson's contract was worth $2,500, plus a percentage of any sale to a major league team. In 1938, Fred Hutchison was the most popular player at Sick Stadium in the Rainier Valley. Sick Stadium was named for team owner Emil Sick. Sick was a Washington native who made a living as a brewer and industrialist. According to Wikipedia, he made his fortune owning baseball teams and stadiums, along with airlines and breweries across the Pacific Northwest, including Canada. Hutch put up impressive numbers, including a 25-7 record with 29 complete games, a 2.48 ERA, and he snagged his 19th win on his 19th birthday, August 12, 1938. It was in Seattle that Fred earned the nickname Hutch, which would follow him the rest of his career. Toward the end of 1938, Seattle owner Emil Sick offered Fred to the Yankees, asking for cash and 10 players in compensation. New York owner Colonel Jacob Rupert, he declined the offer, and Sick would go on to sell Hutch to the Detroit Tigers for $50,000, which is about $1 million in today's money, and the sale included 4 players, including JoJo White, who would help lead Seattle to 3 consecutive Pacific Coast League titles. Hutch made his major league debut on May 2, 1939, against the Yankees. This was on the same day that Lou Gehrig benched himself, ending his record streak of 2,130 consecutive games played. With Gehrig's streak ended and his health failing, the Yankees were frustrated, and they vented that frustration on the Detroit Tigers and their new pitcher. The Yankees devoured Detroit pitching, scoring 6 runs in the first inning, and they led 13-0 by the top of the sixth when, with 2 outs, the call went to Hutch. He ended the sixth, but got just 1 out in the seventh, giving up 4 hits, 5 walks, and 8 more runs, resulting in a Yankee rout with the embarrassing final score of 22-2. While Hutch arrived quickly in the major leagues, he didn't stay long. Tiger leadership felt he needed more seasoning, and they sent him to Toledo of the American Association. Hutch didn't show enough skill at Detroit's spring camp in 1940, so they sent him off once again, this time to Buffalo of the International League. The 1940 Tigers would win the American League title, and their pitching staff included veterans like Bobo Newsom, and did not have room for a young, inexperienced pitcher like Fred Hutchinson. A year later, however, Hutch went 26-7 for the Buffalo Bisons, winning the International League MVP award. He demonstrated he was ready for the major league. And while Hutch had big plans for a major league career, fate intervened. It would be years before he again set foot on major league soil, not because of skill, but because of World War II. Hutch, who was 22 years old, saw active duty in the U.S. Navy. He rose to the rank of lieutenant commander and lost four full seasons, 1942 through 1945, of his professional career to military service. When the Japanese surrendered in 1945, Hutch was 26 years old, and he hadn't pitched professionally in four long years. The time spent serving his country did not change his love of the game. He was determined to make it back to the major leagues. In 1946, Hutch earned a place in the defending World Series champions Tigers' starting rotation. This was a bullpen that included Dizzy Trout, Hal Newhouser, and Virgil Trucks. Hutchison won a career-high 18 games in 1947. In 1951, Hutch was selected to play for the American League All-Star team and pitched three innings and an 8-3 loss at the Tigers' home park, Briggs Stadium. Never blessed with a blazing fastball, Hutch used his control and domineering glare to amass a 95-71 record, a 3.73 ERA in 10 seasons with the Tigers. He also pitched in the 1940 World Series and in the 1951 All-Star Game. And listeners, I can't help but wonder what his numbers would look like if he hadn't lost 4 years to military service. In addition to being a solid pitcher, Hutch was one of the best hitting pitchers of his time. A left-handed batter, he frequently pinch hit and batted above 300 four times. While Hutchison did not put up stunning statistics, his career was never about numbers. His most memorable traits were those of character, of an athlete driven to win, someone blessed with talent, determination, and drive. Off the field, Hutch was polite, quiet, and unassuming. But on the baseball diamond, he was a fierce competitor who absolutely hated to lose. His temper was legendary. Quote, "I always know how Hutch did when we followed Detroit into a town," cracked Yankee catcher Yogi Berra. Quote, "If we got stools in the dressing room, I know he won. If we got kindling, he lost." After a particularly disappointing home game, the dozen light bulbs lining the narrow tunnel to the clubhouse fell victim to Hutch's fists. He unleashed similar fury at other ballparks and even while enjoying a round of golf. From an August 1950 newspaper column written by Tigers third baseman George Kell came a story from spring training in Lakeland, Florida, when a group of ballplayers went golfing. Hutchinson missed his putt and was so mad that he hurled the putter into the swamp on the edge of the course. Once he'd regained his calm, he turned to his caddy and asked that the young man get the putter from the murky waters for him. The caddy backed away, saying there was no way he was headed in there for the putter. Too many gators and too many rattlesnakes. This set Hutchinson off again, and he stomped toward the swamp to look for his club. One of the men in the foursome remarked that he felt sorry for any rattler that dared cross an angry Hutch. In 1952, the last-place Detroit Tigers made Fred Hutchinson their player-manager. And in 1953, Hutch's career as a major league pitcher was coming to an end. At age 34, Hutch had won 95 games for the Detroit Tigers, but he was losing speed off his already average fastball, and it became clear by the end of the 1953 season that the Tigers would not be bringing him back as a player in 1954. In the last game that he pitched, Hutch went out in style, hitting a home run in his last major league at-bat. Although Hutch managed the Tigers through the 1954 season, the team had only slightly improved the two seasons that he was in charge. Hutch was let go as manager at the end of 1954. With his career as player-manager with the Tigers at its end, Fred accepted an offer to return to Washington and manage the Seattle Rainiers of the Pacific Coast League. It was a triumphant return to Seattle for Hutch. He led the Rainiers to the 1955 Pacific Coast League pennant, and he also enjoyed living close to family after a decade away. At the end of the 1955 season, he was hired by the St. Louis Cardinals to replace Harry Walker as team manager. Hutch was back managing in the major leagues, and he spent nearly 3 years with the St. Louis Cardinals, and in 1957, his Redbirds finished second place. 1957 was the year that Hutch won the Sporting News Manager of the Year award and earned a new nickname, the Big Bear. The name, Big Bear, was in part because Hutch stood 6'2" and often sported a serious expression. His contract in St. Louis was renewed for one season, but team owner August Busch wanted something new, and he released Big Bear at the end of the contract. So Hutch returned to Washington to again manage the Rainiers in 1959. The Rainiers were the top farm club for the Cincinnati Reds, and that major league team needed new leadership. In July 1959, Hutch was called back to the major leagues, this time to lead the Reds. And while he was affiliated with the Detroit Tigers for 16 years, it would be in Cincinnati where he earned his greatest acclaim. He took over a losing ball club and in just a couple of seasons guided them to the 1961 National League pennant. The 1961 season was marked by numerous dramatic late-inning comeback victories, overcoming large margins, sometimes in a single inning. The Reds, it seemed, were always in play. I'm reminded again of Yogi Berra and the phrase, "It ain't over until it's over." The 1961 Reds won 93 games and their first National League pennant since 1940. This was Hutchinson's second trip to the World Series. Ironically, he was a Detroit pitcher in 1940 when his Tigers lost the Fall Classic to Cincinnati in 7 games. Unfortunately, the 1961 Reds drew one of the best teams of its era as its World Series foe, the New York Yankees, a team that featured Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, and Whitey Ford. The Reds were outmatched in the Fall Classic, mustering only one victory in Game 2. Cincinnati lost the 1961 series in 5 games. Despite losing the series, Fred Hutchinson was now considered the best manager in Major League Baseball. In 1962, his Reds won 98 games but finished third, 3.5 games behind the Giants. While the team fell to fifth in 1963, with an 86-76 mark, they continued to bring in young talent, such as shortstop Leo Cardenia and second baseman Pete Rose, who was named National League Rookie of the Year. In July, Hutch was given a contract extension through the 1965 season. The future looked bright. His team had fresh faces and a core of veterans, plus a strong farm system to draw upon. As sports writers and sports fans alike looked at the 1964 season, many agreed that the Reds could be in contention. A few days before Christmas, 1963, Hutch was enjoying the off-season at his home on Anna Maria Island near Clearwater, Florida in the Gulf of Mexico. That's when he noticed a small lump paired with soreness on his neck and chest. Not overly concerned, Hutch waited a few days before flying to Seattle to consult with his brother, Bill Hutchinson, a prominent physician and cancer researcher. Concerned about the lump in Fred's throat, the elder Hutchinson performed a biopsy on New Year's Eve. After carefully reviewing the test results, Bill delivered a grim diagnosis. The 44-year-old Cincinnati Reds manager, who smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day since his time in the U.S. Navy, had inoperable lung cancer. Dr. Hutchinson was tasked with the unenviable job of telling his kid brother that he had no more than a year to live. Fred Hutchinson immediately sought out childhood friend and part owner of the Seattle Mariners, Dewey Soriano, and asked Soriano to set up a press conference. The conference was held on January 3, 1964, and looking back at this across the decades, it's worth mentioning that this presser took place just 8 days prior to the first Surgeon General's report on the connection between smoking and cancer. When half a dozen Seattle sports writers arrived to hear what Hutchinson had to say, Hutchinson not only shocked them with the disclosure of his cancer diagnosis, news that made headlines across the country, but with the clinical, almost unemotional manner in which he discussed the horrendous news he had received. Hutch underwent radiation treatment in February 1964, and while he was weak, he returned to Florida to start spring training with the team. His players and staff all knew what he was up against. The Reds started the 64 season with the weight of his terminal diagnosis on everyone's mind. Despite the grim prognosis and his failing health, Hutch managed the Reds through the end of July when he was hospitalized. After his release from the hospital, he returned to work, but only for a few days. On the day after his 45th birthday, he turned the team over to his first base coach, Dick Sisler. Hutch's birthday was celebrated at Crosley Field on August 12th, but days later, he was back in the hospital. With their manager now critically ill, the Reds caught fire and won 29 of their last 47 games. But the team finished in a tie with the Phillies for second place, just one game behind the Cardinals. The Cardinals that would win that year's World Series. Hutchinson formally resigned as manager of the Cincinnati Reds on October 19, 1964. 45-year-old Fred Hutchinson died 3 weeks later at Manatee Memorial Hospital in Bradenton, Florida. Fred Hutchinson never married and did not have children. After his death, he was buried next to his parents in the family plot at Mount Olivet Cemetery near Seattle. Sport magazine posthumously named Fred Hutchinson Man of the Year for 1964, in tribute to his courage in battling his final illness. Fred Hutchinson was inducted to the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame in 1965, and his number was retired by the team. Hutch's career record as a major league manager, in all or parts of 12 seasons, was 830-827, which is a 501 percentage with 9 tie games. He was remembered for his winning baseball teams, as the man who launched Cincinnati into prominence. Prominence that carried on for years after his death with the Big Red Machine of the 70s. In 1965, Major League Baseball established the Hutch Award, which is given annually to an active Major League ballplayer who, quote, best exemplifies the fighting spirit and competitive desire of Fred Hutchinson by persevering through adversity. In the 55 years since the award was established, 11 members of the National Baseball Hall of Fame have won the Hutch Award. The inaugural winner was Mickey Mantle. Danny Thompson of the Minnesota Twins, he was the 1974 recipient after being diagnosed with leukemia earlier that year. He continued to play through the 1976 season before dying that December at age 29. Another player, John Lester, a Washington native like Fred Hutchinson, he won the award in 2008 after recovering from anaplastic large cell lymphoma. The Dead Ball Podcast is created by Tim Scott. This week's episode was written by Nina Instead and Tim Scott. Chuck Walters is our technical consultant and audio editor. If you're enjoying the podcast, take a moment to leave a rating or review on your favorite podcatcher. This helps other baseball lovers find the show and the stories shared here. To learn more, or to talk with like-minded baseball fans, join the Dead Ball discussion group on Facebook.